While some have been debating whether the president should be giving speeches during primetime or directly to school children, at least one man in Tempe is hoping the president will stop speaking altogether.
And David's praying and saying, as a snail which melteth. See, that was very scriptural what I brought up about snails being salted. He said, as a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away like the untimely birth of a woman. He's saying, like an abortion, right? Like a miscarriage. That's what an untimely birth is. He's saying, let Barack Obama perish like an abortion. Amen. Let Barack Obama perish like a miscarriage. As the birth of an untimely, like untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Let me tell you something. Somebody needs to abort Barack Obama.
Amen.
It's true. Now, I'm not going to do it. I'm not saying vigilantism. I'm not saying that somebody should go kill him. I'm saying that there should be a government in this country that, you know, under God's authority, that takes Barack Obama and aborts him on television for everybody to see in the whole world. Did you hear me? And I'm not saying I'm going to do it. I'm not a vigilante. But I'm going to tell you something. If there was any justice in this country, yeah, if the judicial branch in this country, yeah, meant anything, they would take Barack Obama and all of his colleagues, and they would take him and they would abort him.
Amen.
They would,
amen,
melt him like a snail. That's what they'd break the teeth out of his head, my friend.
Clark couldn't stand hearing Anderson's angry words anymore.
This was started out of amazement because of the fact that we have a man in our home state, our beautiful state of Arizona, that was preaching for hoping for the death of our president.
His group, People Against Clergy Who Preach Hate, organized what he calls a love rally, spreading the word through Facebook and gathering outside Pastor Anderson's Faithful Word Baptist Church.
It really kind of scared us what this guy was saying, what Pastor Anderson was saying.
Many people showed up outside to protest the pastor's hateful words. One woman was turned away when she tried to go inside.
He told me I wasn't allowed on the property.
Carolyn Lori said security told her she could only go inside if she dropped her sign. Carolyn says she just wanted to speak to Anderson face-to-face to talk about what he's preaching.
Shows disrespect. You know, I don't care, not just because it's Obama and I'm a black woman. It's just because it's the wrong thing to do, especially from the pulpit.
This group says this protest isn't a one-time deal. They will continue to show up until there's a change.
We're going
to
be here until this man over here that calls himself a reverend stops preaching hate.
Until then, Clark says he and his supporters will try and preach love.
Yeah, peace, brother.
In Tempe, Mike Pelton, Cronkite News.
We tried contacting Pastor Anderson and the church for comment, but their phone number is disconnected. We also sent an email to the address listed, but it bounced right back. The Love Group has 1,400 members and is planning another rally this upcoming Sunday.
The fiery words of this pastor have set off waves of anger and disappointment throughout Phoenix.
I hate Barack Obama. You say, well, you just mean you don't like what he stands for. No, I hate the person. Amen. Oh, well, you mean you just don't like his policy. No, I hate him. Now, I'm going to prove this from the Bible tonight, why I should hate Barack Obama. Why God wants me to hate Barack Obama. Why God hates Barack Obama.
Residents lined the streets near the Faithful Word Baptist Church this weekend to protest Stephen Anderson's shocking sermon.
It's hard to believe that we could have someone of a religious nature sitting there saying that he wishes our president to be dead.
In his evening service about a month ago, Anderson used biblical scriptures to justify his prayer for the president's death.
Why should Barack Obama die like the untimely birth of a woman? Why should his children be fatherless and his wife a widow, as we read in this passage? Well, I'll tell you why. Because since Barack Obama thinks it's okay to use a salty solution, right, to abort the unborn, because that's how abortions are done, my friend, and the embryo melts like a snail. And I'd like to see Barack Obama melt like a snail.
And you're not going to like this, but you haven't liked the sermon up till now, so why would I try and please you now? You're gonna be mad no matter what I say. And you say, oh, I can't believe you speak that way, that's vile. I'm sorry, but the Bible says that the words of Jesus Christ are wholesome words. And the Bible says every word of God is pure. And so don't accuse me of using bad language. That's what the Bible says. And God said a man is somebody who pisses against the wall. We got a bunch of pastors who pee sitting down. We got a bunch of, and you say, you know, you're being vile. I'm not, hey, then God's being vile. God's the one that wrote the Bible, my friend. We got pastors who pee sitting down. We got the President of the United States probably pee sitting down. We got a bunch of preachers, we got a bunch of leaders who don't stand up and piss against the wall like a man. And I'm going to tell you something, that's what's wrong with America. You don't like it? You don't like an old-fashioned Bible that tells you what being a man's all about? Because it's called the King James Bible. And if you don't like that term, piss against the wall, then you know what? Go to the bookstore this afternoon and buy a new King James. It'll take out that word. It'll take out the word damnation. It'll take out the word hell about half the times. It'll take out the word Jehovah, the name of God. It'll take out anything in the Bible that has any power to it. It'll take out anything that tells you how things are supposed to be. But you know what? 400 years ago, pastors used to stand up and preach that a man needs to be a man.
Amen.
Not a male. Not the males. It's because the editors of the NIV pee sitting down. It's because the editors of the New King James, they all pee sitting down. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to pee sitting down. I don't care if it's Germany. I'm going to Germany in about a month. You better know I'm going to stand up everywhere I go.
The only purpose for lying is because of what other people think.
Right.
Because God knows the truth. So whether we lie or not, God is not going to be fooled by our lie. We know that God knows everything and that God knows the truth. So if I lie to you, I'm basically saying I care more about what you think about me than what God thinks about me. Because God already knows whether I'm guilty or innocent. And so when I lie, I'm basically saying I don't care as much what God thinks as what this person thinks right now. So I'm going to disobey God. I'm going to do wrong in the sight of God in order to make this person think more highly of me. Okay? That's basically what you're doing when you're lying. We ought to tell the truth because it's the right thing to do. If it makes us look bad, makes someone else look bad, hey, we should tell the truth because it's right.
Amen.
And that's what Christianity should stand for, being truthful and honest. But we talked about telling lies, and I briefly read a scripture that kind of touched on listening to lies. You know, hearkening to lies. And it said, you know, people who hearken to a lot of lies are usually a liar themselves. Paintings of naked men in church, folks. It's disgusting. And so I want to tell you something. The man who painted Jesus painted him to look like a queer because he was a queer himself. He flipped over the tables. He wasn't a soft, feminine man. He was a manly man. And that's why the Bible teaches men should be manly, have a manly hairstyle. Women should be feminine and have a feminine hairstyle. There ought to be a difference between men and women.
Amen.
It sounds basic, but today in 2009, this is an issue. In order for there to be a difference between men and women. Look, there's a difference between men and women.
Amen.
In order for there to be a difference, there has to be a difference in clothing. Now, if Pastor Anderson came to church tonight in a skirt, would that be okay?
No,
who think
no.
Would that be okay with you guys?
No.
Now think about it. They say it's wrong for a man to wear a skirt. Amen, amen, amen. You know, please, Pastor Anderson, we beg of you. You know, don't put on a skirt. But what if my wife wore pants? People would say that's fine. Okay, now stop and think. Now, before you get upset, before you get angry about it, stop and think this through. Don't have a preconceived idea. You say, well, our society accepts women wearing pants. But wait a minute. Our society accepts abortion.
Yep.
Our society accepts homosexuality. Yep. Our society accepts a lot of things that are wicked and wrong. And so are you going to let our society determine what you believe? Or are you going to let the Bible determine what you believe? We live in a sinful society. I mean, hey, you start out humble. You start out small. And it costs you something. I mean, this year, preaching the truth has cost me two-thirds of my business. Cost me two-thirds of my business. I mean, I worked, I slept in the car, I built a business, and two-thirds of it is gone. Why? Because of my preaching, two-thirds of the business is gone. You know, you preach, you get on the news, and then, you know, you get arrested for dumb stuff, and that costs a lot of money to pay the lawyer. You know what I mean? Lawyers are expensive, by the way. $4,000 here, $4,000 there. But you know what? A lot of people today, they want to go into the ministry and start a church or pastor a church because they think it's for the money. They want a cush, easy job. Are you listening? And I don't get paid to pass this church. But they want a cush, easy job where they can sit behind a desk somewhere in their little ivory tower in their office somewhere, do a little counseling, okay? Somebody else is going to cut the grass. Somebody else can clean the building. Somebody else is going to do the work. They're just going to sit around their ivory tower, send other people out to knock the doors, and they're going to sit there and you know, just relax. It's an easy, you know, high-paying job where they can just sit back and relax and not do anything. But you know what? What you ought to ask yourself, if you really want to preach, why don't you ask yourself if you still want to be a preacher if it costed you to preach? What if it cost you every sermon you preach $200? Think about that. What if I told you, hey, you can preach, you're gonna have a church, you're gonna start a church, you're gonna win souls, you're gonna be a preacher, but every time you preach, you're gonna have to work a job on the side, and every sermon you preach is gonna cost you $200. You're gonna have to pay $200 every sermon. Would you still want to preach? Would you still want to be a preacher? Would you still want to be a pastor? You'd go, oh, I don't know about that. But wait a minute, that's what you ought to ask yourself. What's your motivation? How bad do you want it? Are you willing to pay to serve God? Because let me tell you something. Serving God doesn't pay. It costs. Now, this is where you really can't have any sympathy for Lot here. I mean, what a piece of trash. Listen to him. Yeah. Now, look, you're not going to make any friends with this kind of preaching. But you know what? I didn't start a church to make a bunch of friends. I could have just joined some soccer league or something if I just wanted to make friends. Okay? Hey, somebody needs to tell the truth about this and preach this. And you know what? If it's in the Holy Bible, I can't see how somebody could say it's not true unless they just say, I don't believe the Bible. I think the Bible's a lie. I don't think this story ever happened in Sodom. I don't think that really happened in the land of Benjamin. I don't think God really said that. I don't really think, yeah, and all the people who got molested last week, that probably didn't happen either. Right? And the guy that I knew as a teenager who was a homo, who was murdered by his queer buddy, that probably didn't happen either, did it? And all the people that were in the Christian school that I knew, they used to molest boys, and I saw it happen, I bet that didn't happen either, did it? You know, get your head out of the sand. Get your head out of TV and all the you know, fun little shows that you watch. Why don't you get some reality and understand these people are not normal.
Right.
Okay? The Bible says what they do is against nature. We are all born with a sinful nature. It's natural for me to lie. I have to make an effort to tell the truth. I have to teach my children to tell the truth. It's natural to be tempted to steal. I have to teach my children, don't steal. Because the natural man commits sin. He steals, he's tempted to lie, he's tempted to cheat, and we all have those temptations in our life. When we see the billboard of the girl in a bikini, you know, there's a temptation there, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. But let me tell you something, no normal person is tempted with another man. It goes against the nature, even the sinful nature. It's totally against nature. It's only when someone has been given over to that reprobate mind where they're reduced to the level of, the Bible said, a beast. I didn't say that. The level of an animal. That's what God said. That's where they go into this kind of perversion. Have you ever wondered when you looked at people in this world, how could someone be so wicked? Have you ever thought about people like Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy? God doesn't love everybody, because here it is in front of me, black and white. You know, and literally, I can show you, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but I one time I made a list of all the verses where God said he hates people. It's like 30 verses where God talks about hating people, okay? And yet people just don't want to accept it. They just want to believe that God loves everybody. Now, I've actually had somebody say that to me. I tried to show somebody, look, God, there are people who go too far, and they're too wicked, and God hates them. And they said, well, I think God still loves them, though, even though he hates them. Now, first of all, that's crazy. I mean, that doesn't even make any sense, because hate and love are two opposite things. But then here it says right here, he says it both ways. He says, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of my house. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. So that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth. Now look at that. This is David praying against people, cursing them as he prays, praying that God will break their teeth out of their head. Isn't that what it said in verse 6? Praying that they will melt like a snail. Now you say, what is that about? It ought to be abort Obama. It ought to be the motto. But look at this. Look at chapter 59. And look, don't get uncomfortable. I'm just preaching God's word.
Amen.
Let me introduce you, since you, this is the Bible, okay? You know, Christian Bible. Bible, Christian, okay? Now that you've become acquainted a little bit, you know, now you know who you're dealing with. You say, why are you preaching this? You know what? Because it makes me mad. I'm mad I don't know about you, but I'm fed up tonight. I'm angry tonight. Because I'm angered by a bunch of preachers who want to sit back and let America go to hell, let our freedoms go to hell, let the souls of America go to hell, and we all just sit back and just, we're comfortable, we're lazy, we're lukewarm, we're neither cold nor hot, and we want to come to church and have our ears tickled. Hey, this isn't to tickle your ears, it's to give you a swift kick in the pants tonight.
Amen.
Because that's what you need every once in a while. You need to come to church and get a boot in your rear end. And that's what this sermon is. Because we don't need to constantly just have this, oh, it's great, it's wonderful. You know, I love to preach encouraging sermons. And there's nothing more encouraging than the Bible. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God is a God of wrath and vengeance. And that's the message that ought to be thundering from every pulpit in America today. People ought to be trembling today. The people in America ought to be scared to death and trembling and saying, oh God, what are you going to do to our country? Oh God, are we going to be able to survive? Oh God, are you going to give us freedom? Or are you going to allow us to go into the depths of socialism and communism with Barack Obama? But instead, we just sit back, we're comfortable.